morning. Hey, you knew I was preaching because of the bulletin's blank. I will tell you, I had every intention of having a title. And Wednesday I had one. And Julie didn't text me till Friday. I talked to her Thursday night. She knew God had a different plan for where we were going. And I'm not sure where that's going to be. So it's going to be fun to watch. But I wanted to start with, anybody know what tomorrow is? Lexi, you know? What? First day of softball, spring sport practice. Right. Braden knew, I already talked to him. So I was going to go, and we were going to talk about perception. And that led me into transparency. Because as this is my first year of being a varsity coach, I've been an assistant before, and that's been pretty cool. And as I'm finding out, there's a lot more to do being a varsity coach, and it's a lot more time-consuming. But the one thing I want to be with all these girls is I want to be transparent, because we have things we've got to get fixed. We have a discipline issue, a lack of discipline issue, and we've got to get fixed, and that's my utmost priority. So they're not going to like me, but I'm going to be transparent. So by Wednesday, I may not have a team. And if that's the case, I will come begging God to give me some girls that want to be disciplined. I think it'll be okay. But you know, so we didn't go, God didn't want me to go there, because this morning as I started studying more and I got in depth, he said, "Matt, here's what I want you to preach on today." I said, "God, really? I got all these notes on perception and transparency." He said, "I want you to do doing good for the sake of the gospel and saved to do good." Do we understand that we are saved by God to do good, and we're doing good for the good of the gospel? We're not doing good for the good of us. I'm going to start with a little story. Really has nothing to do with the message today, but I'm going to start with just to wake everybody up and make a laugh. An Irishman and an Englishman walk into a bakery. The Englishman steals 3 buns, puts them in his pockets, and leaves. He says to the Irishman, "That took great skill and guile to steal those buns. The owner didn't even see me." The Irishman then replied, "That's just simple thievery. I'll show you how to do it the honest way and get the same results." So the Irishman proceeded to call out to the owner of the bakery and says, "Sir, I want to show you a magic trick." The owner was intrigued, so he came over to see the magic trick. The Irishman asked him for a bun, and then he proceeded to eat it. He asked 2 more times, and after eating them, the owner says, "Okay, my friend, where's the magic trick?" The Irishman then says, "Look in the Englishman's pockets." I thought that was pretty cute. So today, I'll give you some minutes. And here's another reason I don't like to put the scriptures in, because we need to know where to find things in the Bible. And if I put it in, man, we get that bulletin. We can postmark during Sunday school or before. Man, we need to learn to find it in the Bible. And again, when God told me this passage, I was like, we're going to be in Titus today. Yeah, Titus, this is written by Paul. And Paul actually left Titus in charge of a lot of the churches along the Mediterranean seaboard there. And he wrote this letter to Titus, and it breaks down a lot of rules of what you should do, shouldn't do for church, and how you appoint people and doing all that. But we're going to be in chapter 2, and it's doing good for the sake of the gospel. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. So I want you to think about where, when we think of teaching, where do we start? We want to start with the little fellas, right? When Paul was building this church, where did he start? With the adults. Okay, and I think it's important. And look at what they want to teach the older men: to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith. You know, I kind of see where God's going with this, because I was wanting to talk about transparency. Temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they lived, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. So there tells us why we're starting with the adults, because we want them to teach what is good. In order to do that, we have to be instructed. You know, even as adults, you know, I'm going into this tomorrow with my eyes wide open. I'm not even sure where I'm going to go. I mean, I've been calling on people. The Buck Workman has helped me a lot. But I'm going in eyes wide open, and there's going to be times when certain situations are going to arise. And quite honestly, these girls are going to teach me. I hope they do it in the correct way. Because otherwise, I got to say, they're going to get very accustomed to. Let's get on the line. Because we're going to break them of habits. God is doing the same thing with us every single day. He's trying to teach us good habits to break our bad habits. Thank goodness I am not God. Because I'm going to teach them to break bad habits with the iron fist. Our God does not. Our God does not. So again, today I think this was meant for me, because I'm learning a lot already. Sorry, Morgan, you're still going to hear. Get on the line. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So, as older women, our job, your job, is to teach the younger women how to be a woman. And I love, in all the descriptions of all the people, I believe it talks about self-control. Self-control. What's that mean? That means, man, I want to go out and buy a new car, but I'm not going to do it. It means, man, I want to have that second piece of cake, but I'm not going to do it. Or, you know, whatever your crutch is, fill in the blank. Guys, self-control. Our Savior went on that cross, and He could have jumped off of there at any time. He showed so much self-control. And you know why he did it? Matt's already alluded to it. Because he loves us. So if he can show that kind of self-control, can't I show a little self-control to back away from the second piece of cake or the new car or whatever it is? Similarly, verse 6, encourage the young man to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Guys, what Paul's telling us is this. We have to practice what we preach. It cannot be hollow, empty preaching. People have to look at our lives as Christians and know that we're Christians. Because we can be out there spouting it out, but they know darn well we've done. Guys, we're sinners. We do it. I do it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to tell these girls, we've got to get in shape. And here I am, 200 and something pounds. Okay? Then it goes into, teach your slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. Try to please them, not to talk back to them. And not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. You know, and as I was thinking about it, and I was preparing for practice, I mean, I have a practice plan. Actually, I have three of them, and I'm just not sure which way to go. But the one thing I wanted to stress to these girls is, you are earning my trust. So that when I put you on the field, I trust you're going to do the right thing. Or so that when I'm not watching, I trust you to do the right thing. I am trying to equip them to make the right decisions. That's what, you know, God's laying it out for us here. Try to please them, not talk back to them. And this applies not only to their slaves, this applies to the young men and the young women that we want to teach. Have you ever talked to a teenager? How's that go? I can tell you how it goes in my house sometimes. I say do something and they tell me no. That usually doesn't go very well. But I make a statement. And then I hear, no, Dad, that's not it. Or, no, Dad, here's why. Listen, I don't care why. If I tell you to do something, chances are it's because I have been through that in the past. Sound familiar? God tells me to do a lot of things. God came and lived. Jesus came and lived on this earth for 30-some years. He experienced life so that he could tell me how to be a better man. He loves us that much that he put himself through that. All right, verse 11. I keep moving or we'll be 3 o'clock. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Guys, are we eager to do what is good? Or do we say, okay, God, I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it. Anybody have to go to a meeting this week? Are we eager to get to that meeting? Or are we saying, okay, I got to go to this stupid meeting? God wants people who are willing and eager to do His work. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Guys, it doesn't just say, teach them when they're going good. You know, there's going to be correction. Encourage and rebuke. What does rebuke mean? Here's my perception of what rebuke means. Rebuke means I need to make somebody else repent of what they're doing. Turn around and do something else. How do I do that? Now, we have to rebuke in love. We have to rebuke in an encouraging way. But I love this last statement. Do not let anyone despise you. Guys, don't give them reason to hate you. Don't give them reason to call you a blasphemer. Don't give them reason to not believe what you're saying. Apply that to our Christianity today. It's what we do when we think no one's watched. That is more powerful than what we say in front of a bunch of people. What do we do when we think no one's watching? And you may think I'm talking to teens today. I'm not. I'm talking to everybody. All right, let's move on. Why we are saved to do good. Saved to do good. We know that God is merciful. God is a merciful God. What does that mean? It means He shows compassion and kindness towards people who don't deserve it. Because of humanity's sin, we all stand in deep need of God's mercy. Guys, do we understand that? Because of our human sin, we have to have God's mercy. We can't get to heaven any other way. We have to have God's mercy. Otherwise, we should have been on the cross. So think about that when you're thinking and feeling bad for yourself. You know, when your day doesn't go the way it should go, or you think it should go, think about that. God's mercy is not allowing me to be hung on a cross for my sins. I guarantee you have a different outlook on life. Because I cannot imagine the pain and suffering that cross brings. All right. Okay. Remind people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to always be gentle towards everyone. Underline that word, everyone. Guys, we're not supposed to be all those things just to other Christians. Everyone. Even the guy at work, he just looks for a way to poke me. Yes. Even the teacher at school that piles so much homework on me, I don't get to play a video game at night. Yes. Everyone. At one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. I wasn't going to go here, but I am. Guys, we have a problem in our society today, and it's created by, I don't know, the tobacco makers or whatever, but we have incorporated this little thing, and I don't even know what it looks like, but it's called a vape, whatever that is, but it's basically liquid, and I don't even know, I'm going to be dumb. But it's basically liquid nicotine, and then they smoke it, inhale it, but they don't have to carry a pack of cigarettes. But I've been told smoking this vape is the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes. One time, there is no medical research even out there that we don't even know what it does to us. It messes our kids up is what it does to us. And it's a bad situation here at Northmore High School. Probably Mount Gilead High School. Probably Cardington High School. Probably Highland. It's a bad situation. But those are the kind of deceitful and passions and pleasures that our kids are living with right now. As we got to train them. We got to do a better job of training our young people. Because they're falling victim to the world. And there are some kids it's going to cost some things. That's unfortunate. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Circle this. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His understanding mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us so generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Can you imagine being Titus and getting this? God is in the habit of not giving people what they deserve. What we really deserve as a collective race is God to punish us for our sin. But as part, and I'll say it, I've said it 1,000 times from up here, God's plan is perfect. As part of God's master plan, Jesus Christ stepped into the picture. And here's the thing. He didn't just step in and do what he was told because God told him to. Guys, I want you to understand something. Jesus stepped in and did it because he was willing to do it. You know, there's a difference between being willing to do something and being told to do something. Right, Morgan? Lindsay? Megan, Lexi, all of you. When we are willing to do something, what happens? A lot of things. We usually do it right. Okay? When we're told to do something, what happens? We usually try to cut corners. So I am thankful that Jesus was willing to come and die on that cross for me. Because if he was told to come and die on that cross for me, he wouldn't have been thinking about me while he was up there on that cross. Guys, understand that. While Jesus was hanging on that cross, while he was being beaten, while he was being the crown of thorns put on his head, he was thinking about each and every one of us today. Today. Not just his disciples and his family back then. He was thinking about the Roman guard that stuck the spear in his side. Guys, we got a high standard to live up to. There's really only one way we get there, and that's with God's mercy and God's grace. We can never forget what happened on that cross. You know, we just had President's Day, and we just had Martin Luther King Day, and all this other stuff. And guys, Easter's coming. And I wish we would celebrate Easter the way we celebrate Martin Luther King Day. Have you ever seen a commercial on TV about Jesus around Easter time? I get tired of seeing the Martin Luther King commercials. He's a great guy, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he made a speech. Jesus died on the cross. We can't get a commercial about him. Here's the commercial, guys. We need to tell people. We need to tell people. And we do that through our actions as much as our words. We don't deserve his trust, but we have it. Whom he poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, in verse 7, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Again, guys, we don't deserve that. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You ever wonder why God put profitable in there? When we profit from something, what happens? It usually means what? We have a little more money, right? I'm telling you, he says these things are excellent and profitable because we get a little more Jesus. We get a little more Jesus for everyone. Verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn divisive people once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that those such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. Guys, notice it doesn't say, I condemned them. It says they are self-condemned. Meaning they did this to themselves. And what's he want us to do? Warn them once, warn them twice with love. Show them once, twice with love. And then get away from them. Teenagers, why I don't want you to be judgmental. It's biblical. Somebody gets me in trouble once, we're going to try to fix it. They get me in trouble twice, I'm walking away. It's not always easy. Oh, man. God's plan is perfect. Pretty cool. Final remarks. Verse 12, as I send Artemis to Tychius to you, or Tychius to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive life. Everyone with me sends you greetings. greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Guys, that's really, as I'm done, I mean, Paul wraps that up so great. Grace be with you all. Mercy and grace are going to get us through our daily lives. So, do good for the sake of the gospel, because we are saved to do good. Guys, he didn't waste his time dying on the cross for us to be a bunch of dummies, even though we are. We are saved to do good. Okay? I'm going to finish up with this. I read this book. This actually was given to me by an area sales manager. I don't know. He's in charge of Ohio for Coca-Cola. And I thought it was pretty cool that he was reading this book. And it says, Lead for God's Sake. And it's a story. It's a parable. The whole book is. I just want to read you the foreword. And I don't know where you can find the book, but it's a pretty good book. You will not believe who wrote this foreword. In the summer of 2011, a good friend of mine, knowing I was in the midst of a season of reflection, gave me a copy of Lead for God's Sake. After explaining to me this incredible impact the book has had on his life, he assured me I would not only enjoy it, but also be impacted by its message. He was right in a big way. From the very start of this captivating parable, I found myself relating to the characters within. By going straight to the essence of leadership and purpose, the story challenged me to reflect upon how powerfully these two areas of life had affected not only my own pursuits and successes, but also the successes of teams I had led in the past. Leadership and purpose were things I had dealt with a lot as we experienced success along the way. So, of course, as the main characters wrestled through some of life's most important questions relating to those two subjects, I found myself doing the same, eventually following their lead to that ever-important question lying at the heart of leadership, why do we do what we do? As I thought back to the ways in my own life, I was reminded of the importance of relationships and how the opportunity to positively impact lives has served as a driving force behind my decision to coach. However, as Lead for God's Sake continued to unfold and painted a vivid picture of how the pressures to succeed in our own culture can attack us from all angles, I was also reminded of how powerfully these pressures can affect our motives and in turn our leadership. Eventually, these pressures entice us to pursue success many times at the expense of the most important thing in our lives, our relationships. In the end, the story took me, as it will take you, on an incredible adventure toward not only a better understanding of leadership and relationships, but also a better understanding of how relationships lie at the center of our purpose in life. Regardless of where you are on your personal journey, I am convinced you'll both be encouraged and challenged by this book. Its message is clear, concise, entertaining, understandable for anyone who is receptive to changing their behavior in their relationships with others. Guys, when I read that forward, I had no idea who wrote it. Urban Meyer wrote that forward for this book. And this dude, you know, he's a great coach. He's a motivator. But for him to break it down to the relationships are the most important. Guys, as Christian, our relationships, our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with other Christians, and our relationship with the outside community are all vitally important. And we have to do what we say and say what we mean. So as we get finished up here, and we, you know, the praise team comes and we'll sing a song of invitation, and Les and Jesse and I will be here, or Les and I guess Jesse's upstairs, and guys, if you need to see God's mercy and grace, there's no better day than today. If you need to see and feel how much your God loves you, there's no better day than today. And if you just need prayer, we're here as well. I do have one announcement to make. I don't. Lexi, come here.
So at school, we are putting together a community youth group. It will be the first Sunday of every month at North Woodbury Church. The time will be 5 to 7. It will be for grades 7 through 12. The first Sunday will be March 1st, and it will be 5 to 8, and that will be like our kickoff. So if you have any more questions, feel free to ask myself or my mom or dad. Thank you.
So as we sing that song, there are things going around in our lives.